Welcome to Truth for Today, where we again look at Psalm 119 with Stephen Thompson speaking on the section headed Teth.
Psalm 119, The Importance of God's Word, verses 65 to 72, Teth. Today we come to the ninth talk as we make our way through Psalm 119. As you will know by now if you have been listening, Psalm 119 is conveniently arranged into 22 sections of 8 verses, with each section headed by a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This is not the work of translators, as are chapters and verses. The psalm was written like this. Unfortunately, in the translation from Hebrew to English, we lose the sense of the way the psalm was composed. It is called an acrostic psalm. And in our section today, it is headed by the ninth letter in the Hebrew alphabet, Teth. Each of the 8 verses in the section we shall consider all begin with the letter Teth, although we don't see this in our English translations. It has been suggested that this psalm, the longest in the book of Psalms, was written in this way to help the people memorise it. That could well be. It would certainly make sense. When I was a boy, in Sunday school, I remember singing S for sin, a dreadful thing, A for Adam who first fell, V for victory, Jesus brings, I, the one he came to tell, O, open up your heart to him, you can know his peace within, R, the remedy for sin that will bring us back to Jesus. I'm sure many listeners will also remember singing this chorus in earlier days and thinking of the Saviour and the salvation which is to be found in him alone. Whilst we do not know who wrote the psalm, we can be sure that he was a lover of God's word. It is not known how much of the scripture the psalmist had. Perhaps it was just the book of Moses, but he delighted in it nonetheless. God is mentioned in all 176 verses, and only in 3 verses is the word of God not referenced. The unmistakable theme of Psalm 119 is the word of God. It is worth noticing that there are many different Hebrew words used for God's word in this psalm. I remember in the English class at school being told not to use the same word multiple times in a sentence or in a short piece of writing. So I try, where possible, to use different words with the same meaning as I write. Interestingly, the Bible translators too adopt this practice, and often you find 2 different English words used for the same Hebrew or Greek word in the original language. But this is not generally the case in this psalm, although the English word word is used in translation of 2 different Hebrew words. We get all these different Hebrew words in the first 11 verses of the psalm, and I will list them in the order which they appear. In verse 1 we find the law of the Lord, and the word law has the thought of teaching or instruction. The word is used in verses 70 and 72 of the section we will consider today. In verse 2, we read of his testimonies, meaning a testimony or a reiteration, an attestation or witness. This word is not found in our section. In verse 3, we have his ways, meaning a path which one takes, a mode of life, a course of action marked out by God's law. Again, this word is not found in our section. In verse 4, we find thy precepts, meaning a charge given to us by God, for which we are responsible. This word is used in verse 69. In verse 5, we have thy statutes, which has a thought of a mark carved or engraved, a definite limit set, an appointed law to stimulate obedience. This word is used in verses 68 and 71. In verse 6, we find thy commandments, having the idea of both command and prohibition. It shows us the requirements of God's will. This word is used in verse 66. In verse 7, we read of thy judgments, and the thought is a sentence of a judge. This word is not found in our section. In verse 9, we get the first reference to thy word. It has a similar meaning to the Greek word logos, and means the articulation of God's will to men, just as Peter speaks of the oracles of God. This word is used in verse 65. In verse 11, thy saying, translated word, but with the meaning of a saying. It could be a poetic word or speech, or sacred hymn, but communicated orally. This word is used in verse 67. In the section we will consider today, verses 65 to 72, Teth, we find six of these nine words used by the psalmist. Let us read the verses together. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Thou art good, and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. As are most of the sections in the psalm, these words which we have read are personal to the psalmist. He is speaking to his God, the one whom he has learned to trust even in adversity. Perhaps this is something we can relate to. Maybe we feel that God has passed us or is passing us through adversity. These are personal matters between us individually and our Lord. Perhaps we know little or nothing about adversity for the moment, but which of us knows what lies before us in this life? So in many ways, this section of Psalm 119 is a sobering one. Let us now go through the passage we have read, verse by verse, verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. In this statement, I believe the psalmist was happily acknowledging God's goodness in his dealings with mankind. We said earlier that the word the psalmist uses in this verse has a similar meaning to the Greek word logos, and it means the articulation of God's will to men. I notice that it is the same word which he uses in verse 89, where he states, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The psalmist is thinking of the greatness of God and bows down before him as his servant. Many a master would deal unkindly and perhaps even cruelly with his servant, but not the Lord. David could say, The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in grace. If we have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour and Lord, then we have a special cause to thank God for his goodness. The Apostle Paul tells us that it is the goodness of God which leads men to repentance. It is certainly true that if we have a deep sense in our souls of the goodness of God, it will help us face the trials of life and any adversity which comes our way. Verse 66. Teach me good judgments and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Not for the first time, the psalmist prays, Teach me. And he repeats this prayer in verse 68. I think I count nine times where he prays, Teach me, in this psalm. When I was younger, I had a desire to learn the accordion. My father found someone who was willing to teach me, but alas, I think I was unteachable. My teacher was a good player and put time and effort into teaching me, but I didn't do the work. I wanted to play football with my friends rather than practice my music. I wonder, are we teachable in the things of God, in his will for our lives? The people of God in the Old Testament had the law of Moses, and we mentioned previously that the reference to thy commandments had the thought of both commands and prohibitions. But the perfect life of the Lord Jesus Christ lived in this world as recorded in the Gospel, and in the Apostles' doctrine as taught in the Epistles, we see fully the requirements of God's will for us. The question is, are we willing and prepared to be taught? You will notice that the psalmist prays for good judgment and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge are not necessarily the same. Knowledge is important. We need it. But wisdom lets us know how to act with that knowledge. It has been well said, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. You will remember that in succeeding King David, Solomon asked God for wisdom. In our modern day, there seems to be limitless sources of knowledge, but at the same time, a lack of wisdom shown by many. Of course, I am speaking of godly wisdom and not the wisdom of men, which Paul dismisses as foolishness as he writes to the Christians in Corinth. We need to prayerfully seek the wisdom of God. James in his epistle says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. We have no idea what sorrowful experience the psalmist had passed through, but it would appear that he recognised that this experience was for his ultimate good. I know it is becoming less accepted in our society today, but discipline is an act of love. The Bible teaches this. We read in the book of Proverbs, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. The writer to the Hebrews quotes these words and adds, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. However, I don't want to give the impression that any or every trial we pass through is necessarily God's chastisement upon us for our waywardness. I guess that is where Job's comforters, so-called, went wrong in their assumption that Job must have sinned to be in the situation he was in. But it does us good to remember that our Father's hand is always upon us for blessing and good, even if it takes a chastening to bring it about in our lives. We have noticed that the word used for thy word in this verse has the meaning of a saying. It does appear that the psalmist recognised that he had been disobedient in relation to God's sayings, his word. Verse 68, thou art good, and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Again, the psalmist returns to the theme of God's goodness and prays to be taught. God is good, and he does good. When God answers our prayers and heals us or helps us in some way, we readily say God is good. But the challenge for us is to recognise that even when things don't work out as we had hoped and prayed, God is still good. I remember speaking with a young man after he had just sang a solo at the funeral service of his stepmother. I said how remarkable I thought it was that he could sing this hymn of praise on such an occasion. His reply was, we praise God on the good days, and we praise him on the bad days too. He is right, of course. And what a challenge that is. Perhaps with the Apostle Paul we can say, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Remember, too, the words of Job, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job didn't only recognise the hand of God in his difficult circumstances, he acknowledged his providence with him, and he blessed the name of the Lord. What a man of faith he was. Teach me thy statutes. We noted that the word for thy statutes has the thought of a mark carved or engraved, a definite limit set. In the New Testament language, the psalmist wanted to keep himself in the love of God. He wanted to be approved of God by being obedient to his word. Verse 69, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Pride is a dreadful thing, and is even spoken of by non-Christians in a negative way. If we are true followers of the Lord Jesus, let us seek to be humble, following in his steps. From verse 51, we know that these proud people had derided the psalmist. They had mocked him mercilessly, although we are not told the reason why. We read that they forged a lie against him. To me, the idea of forging is one of effort and requires work. So I suggest that these people had worked hard to make this lie against him. You will remember Daniel and how those who sought to bring him down could find no fault in him. So they had to forge, to manufacture a situation where his praying to his God was against the king's commandment. Not too long afterwards, they met with a terrible end, as will all who are proud and liars, if they do not repent. We may experience this too, lies being told against us and men mocking us. Remember what the Lord Jesus told his disciples as he prepared them for his departure out of this world. He said, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." I guess the trouble is that sometimes the things people say about us, mocking us, may well be true. How we need to remember God's precepts. We noted that the word used for precepts had the thought of a charge given to us by God for which we are responsible. Peter's words are surely worth noting. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Verse 70. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. This verse is, of course, linked with the previous one, and it is the psalmist's view of those proud and lying persons. I don't know what you make of the statement, their heart is as fat as grease, but it is certainly not a complimentary one. I'm sure this is not a reference to their physical appearance, but rather of their spiritual condition. I say spiritual, as man is a spiritual being, not that these people had spiritual life. As far as I know, this is the only time this word translated fat is used in the scriptures, so we are unable to compare scripture with scripture. However, sometimes the thought of fatness in the scriptures is a very positive thing. Recently, a brother in Christ wrote to me, thanking me for doing a service for him, and in his note he quoted, "The soul of the diligent shall be made fat." I was slightly bemused, but I took it as a compliment. But as we have already said, there was nothing complimentary about the words the psalmist writes about these people. In contrast to these proud and spiritually lifeless people, the psalmist could say that he delighted in the law of the Lord. We mentioned earlier that the force of the word used for the law of the Lord has the thought of teaching or instruction. It is good if we have the energy of heart to be able to be taught and instructed in the word of God. Verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. We saw in verse 67 that the psalmist recognized that the affliction which had come upon him was for his good, because it resulted in his keeping the word of the Lord. Perhaps he didn't appreciate this at the time, but looking back over the years, he had come to see the value in the trials he passed through. Perhaps you know the poem, "Not until the loom is silent, and the shuttle cease to fly, will God unroll the pattern and explain the reason why? The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skilful hand as the threads of gold and silver for the pattern which he planned. We have noted that the word used for thy statutes has the thought of a mark carved or engraved as a definite limit set. The psalmist had learned these boundaries through the experience of affliction. It may be that we are passed through difficult experiences so that we also may learn lessons in the school of God. Verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. Often men misquote the scripture and say, money is the root of all evil. But the Apostle Paul did not say that. He said, the love of money is the root of all evil. Today we hear people speaking of millions, billions, and even trillions. But in Old Testament times, thousands was the biggest number in common use. Here in the last verse of this section, the psalmist is saying, in effect, that the teaching and instruction of the Lord is better than millions, billions, or even trillions of gold and silver. The word better is only found once in the psalm, although the word well in verse 65 and good in verses 68 and 71 have the same root. I think we only find the word better used 7 times in all of the psalms. Search them out and see what the better things are. I trust these few comments have been helpful to you as we continue in our study in Psalm 119. May God bless you all.